Blog Talk Radio.
And Sean McMahon.
Good evening. Welcome to Into the Dark Radio with Steve Rogers and Sean McMahon. We are live here in Toledo, Ohio, as always. And we're trying to get, we're running a few minutes late here. I'm not even signed in the chat room yet, but we apologize for not having a show last Sunday, but we were weekend for our DVD titled Into the Black, and that's what we're going to talk about tonight. So I guess I'll pass it over to Sean. Sean, how's it going tonight?
Not bad. Not bad. Oh, my. Okay, hold on. I had a little technical thing going on here for some reason. That's not going too bad. How's everybody out there in Paraland? Apologies from myself also for leaving everybody hanging. It was a hectic week, hectic schedule, hectic weekend. So we'll make it up to you somehow, some way. Tonight is going to be more or less a free talk night. I think we're going to get the director on of Into the Black, and we're also going to get Jason Snyder, as you all know him, our case manager and lead investigator. We're going to have him on to do a little Into the Black review conversation, kind of go over the investigation. So it should be good. Looks like all the usuals are in the chat room. Susie, Phil, Jason, I see. GK Paranormal. Also want to take a quick minute. I don't see him in the chat room. Jim Millard, he just got his own radio show. I wanted to congratulate him, friend of the show. So he sent a quest. And if you are listening, I apologize. I haven't got back with you on Facebook. About having Steve and I on at one point, we'd love to. So we'll get that rolling too, and we'll let you know when that's going to be and whatnot. So trying to think what else. I'm going to do my shout outs real quick. Definitely want to give a huge shout out for the how can I put this? The hospitality that we received this weekend. We went down to Middletown, Ohio, and went to Posttown Elementary. Great location, great bunch of people down there. Crossover Paranormal, Nick McQuethy and Brian Hensley. Great guys. They opened up the school along with the owner, Daryl. And I'm going to draw a blank on what Daryl's last name is.
Wiseman.
Daryl Wiseman. Great bunch of guys. I mean, couldn't have treated us any better. Really gave us the VIP treatment. Also want to thank, and I'm going to horribly butcher, Namakara. Is that it, you think? That's good, yeah. Namakara. And you would think, because I'm Irish, I would know these things. But Namakara, with Susan and Heather. They absolutely were phenomenal. Had a ton of laughs. Haven't laughed that hard in a long time. So, like I said, my hat's off. You guys are a class act, and we really, really appreciate it. Everything that you guys did for us. It was like I said. I'll save my input for the investigation part. But it was interesting. It was an interesting investigation. Interesting location. Don't forget to go to Crossover Paranormal's page on Facebook. They've got a fundraiser coming up that the Kling brothers are going to be at, Aaron Houdini. Is there anybody else that I'm forgetting? I think that's it. Kling brothers, Aaron Houdini, and it's for a fundraiser for OI. Brian Hensley, his boy, Curtis, which is also there, great kid. He has brittle bone disease, which is OI. Like I said, stop by their page and they can direct you on how to either make a donation or get tickets to the event if you're close down there to Middletown, Ohio, and stop in and investigate with the Klings. I think they're hanging out pizza, they're going to food, bowling. It's going to be a whole weekend gig. So, like I said, check them out, Crossover Paranormal, or you can go right to Nick and Brian's. Nick Hensley and Brian McQuethie. No, Nick Hensley, really? Did I just say that? Probably Brian Hensley and Nick McQuethie's Facebook pages, and you can go directly with them, or actually even Jen Hitt, because off the top of my head, I'm forgetting how you can donate. I know there's a couple different ways, and I'm not 100% sure if Everyday Paranormal has a link or not, or I can't quite remember. So, like I said, if you're interested, just make contact with those guys, and they'll direct you on how to do it, and you guys can donate and help the Brittle Bone Disease OI Foundation. Let's see here. As always, I want to give a quick shout-out to Wartime Paranormal, Jess Johns, and Allison Williams. Those are our girls, so quick shout-out to them. Also want to give a quick shout-out to Alpha, Bill, Ron and Scott. I feel like I'm forgetting somebody. Am I forgetting? I'm forgetting somebody? Oh, yeah. Also, for Alpha, congratulations to them. On they're going to be doing the old South Pittsburgh Hospital. You know what? It's the tax thing. I just filed my taxes today. So my mind is, like, all scattered because I owe. But anyways, they're going to be they have an event coming up at the old South Pittsburgh Hospital. If you're interested in attending that to investigate with Scott, I think Ashley Godwin's going to be there. Obviously, Ron Bordner and Alpha Ghost Team, they're also going to be there. So check them out. You can go to their Facebook page, let them know where you heard about it at, and let them know see how you can get tickets to that. I think you can also go through Demented Entertainment. So check them out. That should be a cool event. And congratulations to Alpha also for their new little segment that they're going to be doing for the magazine here on My Paranormal. It's called Alpha Bits. I'm not sure when their first thing is going to be on. Maybe even Rob could answer that if he's listening. So congratulations to them. Let's see. I felt like I was on a run there. I'm a little out of breath. I'm spent. I think I might need a nap. Also, my buddy here, Steve, my friend, my pal, my co-host, mostly my pain in the ass, but he said last night, he gets a hold of me at work, and he says that he's going to buy me a haunted doll for my birthday here in August. August 1st, by anybody that wants to mark that in their calendars and send me lots of presents. But he's gonna buy me a haunted doll. I kind of want to know if that's a good idea or a bad idea. I'm not sure if... Well, I'm sure they do. I just know. Do people believe in haunted dolls? Can an item be haunted? Is that possible? Let me know what everybody's experience is. If they've ever come across something that's haunted, an item, statue, doll, piece of clothing. Let's see here. Tommy just left the room. Also, don't forget, and I'll have, when Jason calls in, because he's the event organizer, we're going to be having a fundraiser also for OI here in Toledo, Ohio. I think we're going to hold off on who's going to be there for right now until we can get things locked down and confirmed. But we're going to have a lot of good items to auction off, doing a silent auction. It's going to be at a bed and breakfast slash, I guess you could call it a mansion. It is a mansion. It's called the Mansion View Inn here in Toledo. We've investigated it twice. Really, really cool place here in Toledo. So, like I said, once we get things a little bit more hammered out and nailed down, we'll... what's with the construction references? Hammered out and nailed down? I don't like that. Yeah, I'm off my game. I'm off my game tonight. I'm not in the zone. Anyways, we'll let you know a little bit more about that. Hopefully, we're trying to reach out to a couple people to actually come in and do the event. Like
we
I said,
got one big local celebrity coming in.
Do we got him?
Oh, Jason.
Big locals?
Yeah.
Jason, I think Jason's keeping things from me. I feel like a backdoor lover. I'm not sure. Whoa, wait a minute. I think I'm off the... What happened here with the chat room? You know what? I think my Honda Dow might have reached out and kicked me off the chat room. Want to give give a quick shout-out to Phil Summers, too. I listened to your show. I can't remember the musical guest name, local group there. I really actually like them, so... very cool. It was a good interview, too. So, let's see here. Yeah, I don't know what happened to the chat room. I'm not in the chat room. Or I think I am, or maybe I am in the chat room. No, I think I logged off. All right, I'm going to toss this over to Steve real quick, and I'm going to try to get logged back on.
All right, well, Sean's having more technical difficulties next to me right here. I just want to also thank Daryl Wiseman, Nick, Brian, Heather, and Susan for their, as Sean said, amazing hospitality over the weekend. I mean, we were treated very, very well. Couldn't have had an appearance anywhere else. Daryl Wiseman, he is such a true, honest, great guy. I mean, it was a pleasure meeting Daryl, the owner of Post-Town Elementary School. He has so many unique, interesting stories to share with us, and it was a pleasure meeting him and reuniting with our friends, Nick and Brian, meeting our new friends, choosing for the first time. So it was a lot of fun. We had a blast. We had a lot of interesting experiences, and that's what actually we're going to be talking about tonight for tonight's episode. Thomas Brown, the director of the DVD Into the Black, he's going to be on. Jason Schneider is going to be calling in. As Sean said, everybody's familiar with Jason. And then, you know, the four of us are going to have a little discussion about the weekend and what we experienced, talk a little bit about the DVD, what direction we're going with it, and... I'm excited about it. Wait for this DVD to come out, because the more we talked about the weekend, the more I realized how active I think Post-Town Elementary School really is. We had so many interesting experiences over there.
Definitely a lot of potential evidence if things hold true to the way that we understand that they did. So, I'm absolutely geeked about it. So.
Share it with everybody. It's going to be, a really interesting DVD. I really do. I mean, not just to talk our own DVD up, but I really do think that, I mean, we've seen Thomas's work firsthand. He does an amazing job with his educational films. He's a big horror movie fan. I think he's going to do a great job with this DVD. And I'm looking forward to it. I hope all the listeners out there will be interested in it. Maybe pick up a copy. Maybe we can even give away one copy coming up on an episode of Into the Dark Radio. Who knows what we'll do with it, but we're excited about it. We hope you guys are excited about it as well. And actually, I think Thomas is calling in on the switchboard right now, so I'm going to what I'm going to do is I'm going to take a quick break here. And Jason, if you're listening live, give us a call. We'll get you on, and the four of us will just start talking about our experiences over the weekend. On that note, stay tuned, everybody. Steve and Sean will be back momentarily.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi. LP Web Design, 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars.
Okay, everybody, we're back. What we'll do now, we'll just bring our director, Thomas Brown, on the air right now. Have him talk to you guys, to introduce himself, and then we'll get Jason on the phone here next. Once we get it going here. Thomas, you're live on air. How are you doing tonight?
I am fine. How are you?
We're doing great. We're doing great. Excited to talk a little bit about our weekend and share our experiences with all our listeners, and it's going to be a fun show. What I want to do tonight, Thomas, is to start it off, I'd like you to introduce yourself to everybody. Just maybe explain a little bit about your production company and just basically, like I said, introduce yourself for a minute here.
All right. My name is Thomas Brown. I'm 55. I live in northern Ohio, Port Clinton, after about 3 years. I've been a film critic off and on for about 35 years, child care worker in a group home for emotionally disturbed adolescents, actually trying to get back into that field. Been a movie buff since I was 6 years old, especially horror films. I've made 24 educational films, 15 that have dealt with school bullying. Been a national speaker on school bullying, wrote and directed the first authorized Night of the Living Dead documentary in 1993 that has yet to be released in the United States on DVD, but you can find it all over the damn world, but not here. It's even on Blu-ray in Australia. It's nice if I had a Blu-ray player that I could actually play my documentary on Blu-ray. And I decided that I wanted to do something different, and I've always wanted to do a documentary. I actually wanted to do a documentary on bullying and found myself thinking, I think I'll do something different. I'm kind of burnt out on bullying for a little bit and decided to do something on the paranormal.
Very interesting. And, you know, Nick and Brian asked you a question. I remember it's when we were all taking a break before we started the investigation. So I guess I'll ask you the same question. Did you have any experiences as a child or even as an adult that made you want to get into filming a paranormal DVD?
You know, as a child, I think there was one time a friend was staying overnight and a book literally just kind of fell out of a bookshelf onto the floor. I mean, it was a small bookshelf that the books were packed kind of tight because I had a lot of books, but a small bookshelf. And I always thought that was kind of weird, but I dismissed it. However, as a house parent, I worked with a woman who I'll leave nameless, who swore to me that she could read my mind. And we were on the 11 to 7, the graveyard shift, And there literally was a graveyard behind the children's home that I worked at for 11 years. But anyway, we started talking about reading minds, and she said she could do it. I thought, yeah, right. So I challenged her, and she said she didn't like to do it very often, and she would only do it once, but she asked me to think of a color in my mind and then have it pour out of a bottle. And I thought, okay, pink. I think about Pepto-Bismol pouring out of a bottle. And she looked at me and went, pink. I about fell to the floor. That was like, oh, man, that just confirmed, you know. And I've always had a super, super strong interest in anything to do with government conspiracies involving aliens or UFOs or underground secret bases and hidden tunnels and all that. That is a subject that I'm nuts over. However, I couldn't do an open-minded documentary about that subject because I would already be too knowledgeable to go into, at least I think I am. And but the paranormal, you know, breaking it down to ghost hunting was something that I had very, very little interest in. I'm totally open-minded, so I believe about anything that people say. I will never put someone down because they say they've seen or heard something. But I thought I could go into it with an open mind. But my real purpose for going into it was to create something different from what you see on television, because 99% of the stuff on ghost hunting on television bores me to tears. It's so overly produced and hammily acted, I just can't even stand it. And I don't blame the people that are on these shows. I blame the producers for probably making them sell out, you know, for the sake of entertainment and ratings. So I knew if I made a documentary on the paranormal that it was going to be more factual and informational, and then we would include an investigation as kind of like a bonus.
That, me and Sean agree with you on some of these other paranormal shows. A lot of them seem to be staged and kind of boring, some of them. But that's what we're so excited about this DVD is that, as you said in the teaser and everything, which I think hopefully a lot of our listeners checked out, was, you know, there are no scripts. This is not Hollywood. There's nothing completely staged. This is a 100% real look into how the paranormal team conducts an investigation. And that's the one thing that we're really excited about this DVD is we hope we can give all the viewers out there an idea on hopefully how we learned how to do an investigation, and maybe hopefully other paranormal teams out there can take a tip or two that we've done on the DVD, or you know, just share our knowledge if some of these paranormal teams don't conduct investigations the same way we do.
Yeah, I mean, I assumed when I went into this that, you know, this was going to be informational and the investigation for whatever it was would be whatever it was. And I got a major, major wake-up call that this is much more complex than what I thought. There were some very disturbing revelations. It really bothered me to hear that there are people out there who are, you know, looking at what is possibly real or unreal phenomenon in people's homes and giving their own diagnosis and analysis without any credentials whatsoever. That's a little scary because you could cause, you know, people to wig out, sell their home, or, you know, shoot their dog or cat or something. It's really kind of scary to me that there's people out there. And I'm not saying you have to have rules and regulations to be a paranormal investigator. What I think is you've got to have some common sense, and you've got to put their feelings and their lives above your investigation in the first place. You guys taught me that you have to have a lot of humility and humanity in what you do, or you simply could not do it. And I think that's one of the things that really impressed me when I interviewed you guys.
Well, we appreciate the kind words. We really do. And, you know, as we said numerous times on our show and when we were doing our interviews, is I truly think that our law enforcement background gives us just that little bonus when it comes to paranormal investigations, just because the investigative work, I'm trying to think what word I'm looking for. You know, Sean, he's done investigations out on the road. He takes that experience and puts it back into any of our residential investigations that we do. And that's actually what we're hoping to do is kind of get into a few of these conventions around here locally to talk about the DVD and share some of our knowledge as law enforcement officers to let everybody know who's into paranormal investigating and has teams that there's a lot of that there's a lot of access to investigative reports that can really boost an investigation, give you an in-depth look on the location that you're doing. Just, you know, this information's out there. If it's out there, we suggest people use it.
Yeah.
Where'd we go? What happened? I think, Thomas, did we lose you?
I'm still here. I'm here.
Okay. All right. Oh, we thought we lost you there for a minute. We had a little technical glitch. Yeah, I agree. You know, I think that definitely by having you along and, you know, the things that you observed, I think it was good all the way around.
It was an experience that, I'll tell you, I've done a lot of things in my life, and I was telling a friend of mine the other day, I said, you know, this ranks my top five most amazing experiences. I mean, I would put it right up there with being a zombie and David. And that is saying a lot for me, because that was without a doubt one of the coolest things in my life, also one of the most painful and whatever. But just being there that long, and I remember when I was in school, I thought, I cannot wait to get the hell out of here. And it wasn't because I was bored either. And then when I got back to the hotel, I thought, you know, I feel like I want to go back. And it's not because I want more thrills or any thrills at all. It's because there's something about it that just, I don't know. It's like when I met the guys down there, Nick and Brian, and also Daryl. I mean, once again, I was 5 for 5. I mean, you guys plus them, so it'd be 7 for 7, rather. You know, good-hearted people who are really not doing this because they want fame and fortune, and they're not trying to boost their egos. They really believe they're helping people, and let's break it down, they are. And that particular school, which I know we haven't really talked about yet, but that particular school is almost as warm and welcome as, let's say, a summer camp that you've been to as a kid. But having said that, as I began to transfer digital footage and began to put this thing together, and I think the opportune word here is in the daytime, I tried to edit this thing at night, and I found myself getting thoroughly creeped out. And I went, nope, I'll just work on it in the daytime. Simple as that. And that's what I've been doing, about 10 hours a day for the last 4 days.
Oh, very cool. Well, that's a huge compliment that you would, you know, put us in the category with, you know, your experiences with the other film. I mean, that's we really appreciate that you got what you got out of the investigation.
It's not meant as a compliment. What it's meant as is, it is a compliment. I mean, I have nothing but great feelings about the whole experience. But it's just saying that, you know, I mean, I did Day of the Dead in 1984, but I was in it in 1984. And, you know, that many years later to have I never thought anything would top the Day of the Dead experience, except when Lisa Gibbons kissed me on her talk show. That I'd have to put up there with Day of the Dead. But, you know, this new experience with you guys, I mean, it's all new. I mean, it's a totally new thing for me. I don't know, I'd probably, if I had anything I could do over again, it would probably be go on another investigation, but I'm sure at some point, I mean, it could get less fun and more freaky. I'm sure it has that capability.
Oh, sure. Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. Depending on the location and the activity, and, you know, and then it's got the flip side of it could be, you know, one of the most boring, you know, boring nights of your life. But, it's, you know, I think that they've really got something going on down there in Post-Town Elementary. They're definitely, you know, they've got a good thing going on down there. And like you said, it was, you know, as warm, oddly enough, as warm and inviting as the place is, you know, it's as, you know, kind of eerie in the same aspect. So one of the best locations I've been to.
It's like I remember when we went from the one area as we started to go up into the hallways and the classrooms, it seems like it's almost an instant, and I think I probably said this too many times over the weekend, but it's exactly how I felt. It was an instant heaviness, a sense of a creepiness and a sadness. I think it would probably be the same thing as visiting a house where somebody was murdered, you know, or something where something terrible happened in history, you know, like, I don't know what would be a good example, but it was that, and it unsettled me from the very beginning, but there were other places in there, in particular, that went beyond just a heaviness. They went to absolute creepy crawliness and then some. That's all I
sure,
could say.
Sure. Yeah, absolutely. I totally agree. Well, and the, you know, obviously, I think, and we won't release a whole lot on the show, but I know Jason had talked to you about some of the revelations the morning or days after of some of the noises
yeah.
that we heard that we kind of dismissed to other things, and turns out that they weren't, you know, what we thought they were. So, I mean, that's just with that kind of on top of it is kind of icing on the cake. Like I said, what I thought was not as active as I was hoping it would be turned into, wow, well, maybe we really had a lot going on and just didn't realize what we had.
Well, and like I already told Jason and I told Steve today that while I was transferring the footage, and I won't go into any details either, but while I was transferring the footage, I had to stop the machine a couple times and go, did I hear that? Am I imagining this, or did I not hear something? And I can be honest with you, probably there's at least 10 things I have heard and even possibly seen as I've transferred footage that I could swear I did not hear or see that night. Definitely on the audio side of things, there is some definite activity that was picked up by that camcorder microphone. There's no question.
Wow, very cool. I know that when you and Jason had your one experience that luckily we had caught on film. Yeah, we're gonna get Jason on before we talk about that. But I was very happy for both you and the team that was captured on film. So he's actually Jason. I think is calling in right now. So. Let's get him on here real quick, Thomas, and
okay.
We'll discuss that. Jason.
Hello.
How are you, sir?
Good, brother. How you doing?
Good. You're live with Thomas, Steve, and I, and we were just talking about, I don't know if you heard it or not, about you you and Thomas capturing a pretty pretty cool piece of evidence. The loud noise that you guys heard and that was caught on film. I don't know how much you want to divulge about it, but go ahead.
The loud noise that turned into the red and blue lights, is that what you're talking about?
Oh no, not that one.
No.
No, that was a whole different thing. That wasn't quite paranormal. That was more mischievous on my part. But no, the loud slam that you heard and Thomas caught it on the caught it on film.
You're talking about the door?
Yeah, about the door. Yep.
Okay. I mean, how much are we talking about it? Are we talking about a lot of stuff or?
It's kind of up to Thomas. I mean, if we want to, I mean, we want to kind of, you know. Keep some of it in the mystery zone here, but if you want to, if you just want to cover how you felt about hearing it, go ahead.
Well, I can tell you, it was a first for me, being that close and having the door. It sounded like it either pulled closed a little harder or shook or what have you. But it was just kind of what we were talking about, and it happened, got a foot in front of us.
Because I remember hearing you guys down there, and I remember hearing, Steve's distracted me here, and I'm hearing, I remember hearing the, I didn't hear the actual noise itself, I didn't hear the door, but I remember hearing Thomas and you know, you, and that flabbergasted me, because when Dan and I went in there, I mean, there was no reason of why it should have made the noise that it did and as loud as it did.
No, absolutely. And you know, the door didn't have a it doesn't have a knob or anything on it, So, I mean, and it was harder than heck to open up. It was almost like whatever was there didn't want us to go in that room, and that's kind of what we were talking about was finding a certain room. And as soon as Thomas was talking about, you know, finding this room, we were both kind of standing in front of it and started to walk away from it, and that's when the door, to me, it seemed like it yanked closed even harder.
That's how I would describe it.
That was definitely a first for me. I've never been that close. You know, you hear things in the distance or you hear noises and you go and try to find out what it is. But to be right in front of it and have it happen to you, you know, right in your face, definitely a good experience.
Hey, Thomas, how did you feel about it?
How did I feel? I imagine what you heard was me taking the Lord's name in vain rather loudly.
I believe that was yes.
And I never say that. You know, I've never said that. Well, yeah, I've said it before, but it takes a lot for me to come out with that one. It should have been far worse what I said, actually, if such a thing as being worse. It could have been four-letter word heaven down there because, I kid you not, we had been talking about something in a room, and I was, like, obsessed with finding this stupid clock that was on a wall that Daryl was going to give me, and I was trying to find it because I knew we were about done. And I was talking to Jason about something in a room I'd come out of the room and was basically, he was behind me. Let's find the clock land. I wasn't even paying attention to what he was doing or anything else. And I was walking straight down. I had a camera. I don't even remember shooting anything, but in reality, I did. I passed the door and you can see in the footage, you can see the door plain as day. It's just sitting, you know, it's just there without a handle. And I walked 6 foot. And all of a sudden it made, I can't describe the noise now. When I listen to it on the soundtrack, I'm going, I'm not sure, you know, I know what it was, but I mean, it sounds really strange. It's a cross between like a creaking noise or a thud or whatever. I just know it scared the hell out of me. That's all I can say.
Yeah, that was definitely a lot. No, I bet. I've gone over it many, many times in my head too. Yeah, it was definitely a very cool experience, and I can't wait to, you know, take a look at it on film and take a look at the other pieces of evidence that you've got on your audio from the camera.
Yeah, because after I heard that stuff, I told myself I've been editing all day. I'm tired. It was Monday when I heard it. I'm tired. I'm going to go to bed. Tomorrow I'm going to get up fresh, listen to it again. And when I listened to it again, I went, oh, man, it's still there. If anything, it's because I was half asleep doing it the night before. I didn't get all of it. And I could be wrong, but there's definitely something there that tells me that, bottom line, a post-town school, is alive. That's all I can say. And you know, the thing is, you guys do this all the time. You know, I went to Sunday night. I slept really great and thought, because people were kidding me. My father was kidding me that I won't be able to sleep after this because he made the mistake of asking me how it went. And for the next hour and a half, I told him. And that night, Tuddy, I slept great. But Monday night, oh, man, I tossed and turned. I couldn't stop thinking about, you know, not just that, but other things that had happened, you know, during the whole thing, too. So I don't want to put a horror element on it or attached to it. But that place, as warm, as fuzzy as it is, it's also damn freaky and creepy and scary. That's all I can say.
Sure, absolutely. Well, I think, and I think that's why it's gaining the reputation that it is, within the paranormal community, as being a spot of interest. You know, it's, and you know, obviously with the Kling brothers coming, and it'd be real interesting to hear, you know, their, I guess you can say, professional take on it, or you know, their with all the experience that they have. It'll be interesting to hear what they've got, you know, their spin on the school and what's going on there. So, yeah, it's like I said, it's a very cool place, and you know, it just makes it 10 times better of an experience that they have such wonderful people as Daryl, Brian, Nick, Heather, and Susan, you know, partaking and participating in the location. I mean, you know, as much as we were in there, and what I thought was really cool at one point when Nick, Brian, Daryl was out there, wasn't he? When they all came up with us, kind of things were in a lull. I can't remember if Daryl was up there with us or not. I know Nick, Brian, Heather, and Daryl Susan came up.
Barrel.
Okay, yeah, the four you know, paranormal investigators came up with us, and you know, to see if since they've been in there so much, and maybe the entities or spirits are, you know, more comfortable with them, and having them up there and getting their input, and you know, them pointing out a little bit more of, you know, what they got here and noises they've got there, and it just was, like I said, that location has a special feel to it, as well as, you know, an eerie feel to it. So, and like I said, it's because of, you know, the great people that they have involved with the location. So.
Oh yeah, they're probably the most hospitality I've ever seen, and especially with something like that. From, they were great people.
Sure, absolutely. And I gotta thank Heather and Susan for the big tub of, actually I think it was like a gallon of nacho cheese that they had brought. And so, yeah, I'm like a big nacho cheese freak.
I like their no-bake cookies.
Oh, those no-bake cookies were the bomb. Yeah, they got, as a matter of fact,
those
I still got
fantastic.
I've got like a quarter of a bag still left in my sitting in my refrigerator.
I see. That's where the bag went.
That's where it went home with me, Thomas. Sorry.
What's that?
Yeah, I said it went home with me. I think I kind of. I'll make sure. I'll make
one cookie. That's all I really wanted was one more cookie. Oh, you had them all. Okay.
I apologize for that, Thomas.
I didn't need the one more cookie anyway, so it's no big deal.
Yeah, and I didn't need the bag, but you know how that goes.
Yeah, I
agree. Let me ask you this, Jason, you still there?
Yeah.
With the night, give me your opinion, what do you think of the school? What's your bottom line now that we've been in there? You know, we heard all the claims, we've heard all the stories. What's your outtake as an investigator?
I can only say that it's a place that you need to go. It's a place that you know, we've done a lot of different locations, and it's one of my top favorite. I honestly can't wait to get back there again. And if you haven't been there, you need to go. It's definitely not going to be disappointing.
Yeah, I agree, Jason. I mean, looking back over the weekend, I was joking with Sean. I thought you were your mind, it boggled your mind there for a second with that long pause. But I agree completely. It is some place that paranormal investigators need to check out. I think it is very active. I don't think you're going to be disappointed if you go there. And, you know, a big perk is the hospitality that is given to investigative teams that come in to the school, provided, you know, whether it be from Daryl, Nick or Brian, Heather, Susan, or even Toga. I heard Toga does a heck of a job doing tours through that school too. So it's ran very professionally. You're not going to be disappointed. I guess our opinion, for what it's worth, is people need to check it out. They really do.
It's definitely worth your time. And as you said, the hospitality, I mean, it's, you couldn't be around a greater group of people. I mean, from start to finish, when we got there, I mean, it was just an all-around great time. You know, working with Thomas on the DVD was a great time. Everything was fun, and the location was excellent. I mean, I can't wait to get back. I hope we can get back there soon.
Yeah, I totally agree. Well, I'm going to kind of throw this at you, Jason, and Steve. Actually, what's your input? You guys have both done like Mansfield, and I know Steve's done a couple of other bigger locations. What, in comparison to those two, or to the bigger locations, the bigger haunts? Obviously, Post Town Elementary rallied a lot of votes when we did the award show. Would you put it in the same category or same league as some of the big boys of paranormal investigate, or, you know, paranormal locations?
Me personally, I think it's a big location in and of itself to begin with. You know, you think elementary school, and you think, okay, maybe a one level type thing. That's what I had in mind. And the it's a big school, and there's a lot of places in there to investigate. There's a lot of different locations in there that you can go and sit and investigate and do things with. And that's, I think, what, you know, Mansfield and some of the other big ones bring to the table is it's so big and spread out that you can do so much stuff in there. There's so many different areas to investigate and so many different areas of that you may possibly get some evidence. And that's the same thing with Post Town. I mean, it's a big location.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I think Daryl, during the tour, he mentioned, I think there was 52 rooms total in the building. I mean, like you said, it's huge. You're not going to be cramped. You're not going to be crowded with, you know, with your team. It's plenty of room, plenty of space to conduct. Our equipment couldn't even cover all the hot spots that were given to us on our tour. And actually, see, I don't know how much we want to get into without giving away some of the mystery to the DVD. So I think I'll hold off on our equipment part. But to answer Sean's question about how Post Town lives up to other big-time locations, I've been to Mansfield twice. I've been to Fort Mifflin. We've been to Prospect Place. All the things that we experienced over the weekend in Post Town, none of the other locations live up to what we experienced and what we were told. I'm trying to think how to word this. The things that we experienced, we thought were natural. We thought it was just something natural causing the experiences that we experienced. When we found out from Daryl yesterday or Sunday that these weren't natural, this may have, you know, the paranormal label attached to it. I mean, Mansfield, Prospect Place, Fort Mifflin don't even live up to Post Town Elementary School. And, you know, like I said, I don't want to seem like we're just talking the school up since maybe people are thinking we're trying to sell our DVD. We're really not. The things that we experienced over the weekend were truly amazing. I cannot wait to get into my audio. I know you've gotten some of yours. You've already got possible pieces of evidence. Sean's stuff's going to his. Dan is going to his. Thomas already shared with everybody that he's getting evidence on his cameras. I mean, Fort Mifflin, very nice fort. Nothing happened when I was there. Mansfield, the first time I went, had some interesting experiences. Second time, nothing happened. Prospect Place, we all know. We had some interesting things. But in my opinion, Post Elementary School has been that number one spot. That is the location that tops my list at this point in time. It could all change, you know, maybe next in 2 weeks when we go to Mansfield. Well, you know, we'll never know. But as of today, April 13th, the Post on Elementary School is on the top of my list.
Oh, very cool. I mean, I totally agree. You know, I've only got, obviously, Prospect Place under my belt, but like I said, I think when we were doing it, I kind of thought, you know, it's a great place, having a couple different things going on, and I was hopeful. Well, that hope kind of turned into, you know, more of a reality-based opinion now. I mean, I'm very impressed. I'm very impressed with the location. And like I said, anybody that is down in the area or wants to take a little bit of a trip, it was about a three-hour ride for us, so well worth the ride. So if you're thinking to yourself, I'm close to the area, I'm close to Middletown, Ohio, which is in southern Ohio, definitely worth taking the trip to take the investor to do the investigation. And they do public tours, so get a hold of those guys and check it out. So
and here's the difference between Post Town and these other locations. Post Town only charges $10 a person to do an investigation. Mansfield, $75. Waverly's $75 or $100. I don't know what Fort Mifflin was. Prospect Place was $55 or $60. I mean, you can't beat it. For the activity that goes on in Post Town, at the price that they're charging right now, $10 is nothing. And I haven't forgot about you, Thomas, but I got to ask Jason and Sean one quick question, particularly towards Sean. I don't know if I've ever talked with Jason about it, but on air we've talked about the more we do these residential investigations, the more skeptical we become as investigators, because we can't even count on two hands anymore. I mean, it's been that many where we've gone to these locations getting hyped up. The claims are supposed to be, you know, insane, and nothing ever happens. And we remember we were talking about how we become more skeptical over the weekend. Did that, for me personally, this last weekend really boosted my interest. Not my interest, but I don't know. Maybe interest is the word I'm looking for. Did it all, you know, back up to the top? And it hasn't been as high in a long time. I don't. That's me speaking personally. I had a great time. Experiences. I can't explain it this time. What's your opinion, Sean?
Definitely. I mean, I think it. You're right. The interesting. It's not that I'm disinterested or getting less interested in. It re-energized me. I'm going to put it that way. It re-energized me. You know, in doing this. You know, like you said, I think when you get doing this, and you get, you know, X amount under your belt, and you hear all these claims that are just, you know, the gates of hell are going to open up when you walk in their basement, you know, and you come out, and actually you may even have got a decent little nap in, you know, it gets a little frustrating. But like I said, this definitely, you know, I think you run into certain things. I noticed that with, like, when we got the high mom, when you guys captured the high mom out of the residential that we did, you know, it's certain things like that EVP, Post Town Elementary, that definitely kind of hook you and kind of drag you back into, you know, the getting that energy back to, you know, can't wait for the next investigation and can't wait to try to find some more answers.
Yeah, I agree. And that's the word I was looking for, energize me. That's the word I was looking for. Jason, what was your whole feeling on what we were talking about?
You know, you just stole my word with energize, because that's exactly what it is. You know, you do the residentials, and you do the residentials to go and help the families. And if we can help the families in any way and put their mind at ease, then, you know, that makes it all worth it. But the paranormal investigative side of it is you always want to catch some part of, you know, you always want to catch the evidence. You always want to be able to communicate with the entities. You always want that. You're always looking for that. So when you go into a residential, and like Sean said, you know, the walls are bleeding and the gates of hell are in the basement and they can't live there and they've got to leave and you can only, you know, stay in this house for so many days because it's crazy, and you go in and you try everything you possibly can and nothing happens, you know, it kind of weighs on you a little bit. And then you go to Post Town or, you know, Mansfield or something like that, or any location, when you start getting good evidence and you start getting a good night about it, it re-energizes you. It's like, yeah, this is all part of it, and this is all part of what we set out for, you know, and still trying to help people and helping families with the residentials and things. But it's just such a big bonus to be able to capture evidence and capture that stuff that you set out to get. It makes it 10 times more fun.
I agree 100%. I mean, you couldn't have said it better. I agree completely. And as I said, it could all change for my list. But right now, Post Town has been the number one active location that I've ever experienced so far as an investigator. And as you said, I think it was you that said that. I'd love to go back soon this year. I'd love to go back again. This time, you know, maybe, you know, Lake Erie Paranormal. Crossover and Anamkara, and we do a joint investigation to see if we can capture more evidence than what we did over the weekend. Back to you, Thomas. This was your first paranormal investigation, and I think you've kind of explained to everybody how you felt about it, how excited you are about it. I'm trying to think how to say this question here. How interested are you to go back on another investigation? I mean, do you want to go back to Post Town, or are there any other locations out there that you've got your eye set that you'd like to go now that you've got that first investigation under your belt?
You know, I think it would be one of the thoughts that I have. I was making no-bake cookies while you guys were talking. No, I really wasn't. but one of the thoughts that I had is, I remember when you guys sent me the picture of Post Town, and I kept staring at it going, wait a minute, this is not very scary looking, this is not going to work, and I trust their judgment, but, you know, and I put it on the trailer, but so people understand, it doesn't look like a beautiful elementary school or middle school, whatever it is, K-8, you know, on a lush green ground with a beautiful blue sky behind it, and Aunt P delivering, you know, no-bake cookies to the Opie's class. It doesn't look like that. It looks like a scarier in hell place when you go by it. It's huge. And that picture does not do it. I think it must be an architect's sketch for their yearbook or something back in the 19, you know, whenever, because that's not what it looks like. It looks like the kind of place that you just go, wow, I don't even know if I want to go in there. It is so big and so ominous looking. And that's one thought that I have. You know, as I said, when I got back here, and it took me like 3 naps to really get this out of my mind and start processing, you know, what I saw. And then that was before I would start to hear things as I was putting it together, editing it. I thought, gosh, you know, I would love to go back there to see what would happen a second time. I don't want to use the word sequel. That's not what I'm going to use here. This is, you know, but because I have a funny feeling that if you could have 10 investigations and each investigation produced something different. There might be some that would be, I don't think any investigation would be totally zero. I don't believe that, not that place. I believe there could be like a 2 out of 10, but basically I think they're all going to be between 5 and whatever. But I'll bet some investigators would have a hell of a time there, and some would have, you know, very limited. And I think that place pretty much gives to the people there what it wants to give them based on who they are. And you know, that's sort of how I feel. You know, it's, Daryl had mentioned when I was talking with him, and I think so did Brian and Nick, that it's kind of a place that is a warm place. I mean, Daryl and his wife actually are like, I think, protectors, or maybe it's in reverse, I don't know, of whatever it is that's upstairs, if it's child entities or whatever. I think they consider it their family, which is why he's still there. Because I remember asking, you know, why would you live in a place if you heard things like that? Or saw things or you know, suspected things, why would you live there? And he tells me now they would never think about moving. Well, that's really cool. I mean, that tells you something right there. So, I don't know. Yeah, I'd love to go back down. There's people I would love to take there. But you know what I'd be afraid of? I would turn it into a freak show, kind of like the Elephant Man version of the facility. And I wouldn't want to do that to it. It deserves, right. You know, it deserves more respect than that.
Sure, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. I know we had covered that a couple times about, you know, every time Daryl had mentioned, every time he thinks about, him and his wife think about selling the place, or the place is getting to be a little too, you know, too much on them and weighing on them and whatnot, because I mean, it's such a big building and all the repairs and everything that he's done to that building, he's done his own self. I mean, there's a lot of labor of love put into that building, and he said that it seems like every time that they think about or are ready kind of to make that decision to sell, something happens where they can't sell it. And he directly correlates that to, you know, the building, the entities, the spirits, whatever you want to call it, you know, knows that he's there to take care of the place and to, you know, to do nothing but good things for it, and it keeps him there. So I think that's a pretty cool story behind, you know, Daryl and his love for the building. Let me ask you this, Thomas. When you were talking to Daryl, did he mention anything about, he went to school there, didn't he? I can't remember.
Yes.
Did he mention that in his interview?
He mentioned that he at one time, he was there in 19, I think he said 63 or 62, and he said at the time he couldn't wait to get out of there. Now he doesn't want to leave.
Right, yeah, yeah. I kind of thought I remember something about that, but I couldn't really remember, you know, in between setting up the stuff. So, yeah, I think that's a cool. That in itself is just, I think, awesome that, you know, you've got someone there that, you know, that actually went to school there and has some type of history with the school. Didn't just, you know, buy it to, you know, just to buy it and to have a, you know, to have this location as an investment. I mean, you know, they live there, they spend all their time there. They have their grandkids there. And I think that's just, an awesome thing. If, let me ask you this, Thomas, when we go to do the next one, what location, now that you've kind of, you know, got your feet wet on the whole, you know, paranormal thing, what location would you like to do?
You mean like to do and at the same time go, God, I don't know if I can go back there again?
Right, exactly.
Kind of question?
Exactly it.
Okay, like I said earlier, the whole place gives off kind of an unsettled, kind of heavy feeling, but there are certain places, and that hallway, and I had I was never really scared there. I mean, I jumped, you know, with the door situation, but and I was creeped out almost 95% of the time, but I never, ever truly was scared there until I went down the hallway to pick up my battery had died in my camcorder. I was going down the hallway in the pitch black, except the red exit lights, to pick up a cord, my power cord, so I could rig something up so I could get some power to the camcorder because I didn't want to miss anything because it seemed like at that time things were picking up. And I remember I left the classroom, got 6 feet out in the hall, and I just went, oh, hell, man, there's something wrong here. And I was, like, running down there to find the bench in the dark. I found the bench. I saw what would be my power adapter, but somebody had put a bunch of cables on top of that, and here I was. I had all these cables all jumbled up together. I kept thinking, where the hell is the adapter? I was pulling all this stuff up with an endless wire, you know, and thinking something's going to grab me in the dark. However, that area, that hallway, and I think I'm not the only person that will agree with this, is that that hallway has some major power to it. And I don't know what could have happened other than children, you know, running in the halls. But something about that hallway I would want to go, you know which one I'm talking about.
Absolutely. The one where you and I were sitting out in the hallway and we kept looking down at the end, right? Yep, yeah.
Yeah,
by
the way, when I heard that transferring footage, it's a little more active than what we thought.
Wow.
And it was already a little bit active. Yeah, it really is something more than what I thought was there. Yeah, for sure.
Wow.
And I'm
very
not just saying that either. I mean, it's there.
I'm very cool. I can't wait to hear what you've got. I kind of was thinking about that when you and I were talking about it, and I thought, you know, the only thing that I could kind of figure out is that hallway kind of ties the whole school. You know what I mean? That's kind of like to get any place in the school from the one set of stairs to the other set of stairs on the other side that obviously is cut off that goes into the now residents of, you know, Daryl and the people down there. That's kind of the one hallway that ties everything. You know what I mean? So I don't know if that has anything to do with, you know, that's such an active location or kicks off that sense of, you know, sense of anticipation, or I'm not sure.
It's like going from one world to another, Sean. When I was there, I thought, well, I feel like when you turn the corner where Daryl had said he had an experience, which I'll leave, you know, for people to hear about in the film, but when you turn that corner, it's like the L, and you go from, it's like going from civilization to the jungle, because once you turn the corner, it's the heaviness just rolls down the hall at you. I cannot explain it any better than that. And
sure.
And there's certain, I remember the lockers also had a real, real ominous feel to them, particular ones, but definitely that hallway. And I'll tell you, I could never, I mean, I've seen, you know, thousands of horror films in my lifetime. I can't think of anything scarier than, if it could be captured, you know, I don't think it could be, is being lost in that school by yourself in the dark with like a flashlight that keeps failing. There is nothing I could think of to be more frightening than that.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, I could definitely see that. Hey, Jason, are you still there, Jason?
Yeah.
Let me ask you this: if you could get back into school and you look back at the investigation that we did, kind of the same question I asked Thomas: what area would you look at and say, you know what, I wished I would have had a little bit more time to spend in this certain area? Is there anything that you look back, or did you feel that we covered the location adequately? Or is there a certain place that you're like, man, I really wish I could get back into that classroom or that hallway or that, you know, that area?
I think we covered it great. I think we investigated it the way it should have been done. But, you know, saying that, I would love to. There isn't a spot in there that I wouldn't not want to go to again. You know, that one hallway you guys talk about, there's definitely, for whatever reason, just a different feeling there. There's a totally different feeling there. Don't know why. Mm-hmm. You know, it's just a different feeling altogether. Maybe the basement a little bit more.
Okay.
You know, just because there wasn't, you know, we did some down there, but, you know, not hours of it. I think I might want to focus a little bit more downstairs, but I mean that whole building. You know, it's so hard to explain without just going there and doing it.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you know, this is probably going to sound like we're just trying to talk this school up one side and down the other, but I mean, honest to goodness, it's one of the best locations that I've ever stepped foot in. I can't wait to go back and just get in there and go at it again.
I totally agree. Well, I think it says something that, you know, with Brian and Nick bringing in the Klings to the location, I think that lends a whole lot of, I don't want to say legitimacy, because that's not the, I mean, because it's obviously a legitimate location, but I think it lends some type of maybe credence to, you know, yeah, how popular that this place is starting to get, and that they have, even though it's a fundraiser, that they have an interest in coming in and investigating this location with, you know, with those paranormal investigators. So,
most definitely. And hopefully they, you know, I don't know if they're going to release any evidence they collect or what have you, but, you know, I hope that they at least put out their experiences so that
sure,
other people
absolutely.
Hear from, you know, from not just us or not just Nick and Brian or not just, you know, Heather and Sue and everybody else. It's from everybody that goes through there.
Sure,
you know,
absolutely.
Good and
yeah.
bad. Every location is going to have good and bad. I hope that they talk about their experience at this school for sure.
Yeah, I totally agree. You know, the other thing is, Thomas, I think you got to hear it, and Jason, I know you did. The evidence that Nick and Brian have collected, you know, over their numerous investigations that they shared with us, I mean, it was impressive, in my opinion. I mean, and Heather and Susan, you know, the stuff that they've collected from the, you know, from the location. I think that, you know, between everything, like you said, you know, you kind of almost wish that, like, someone would develop a Post-Town Elementary website that you can, you know, you can look at the, huh?
Matter of time,
yeah,
I'm sure.
Sure. I would hope so, Thomas. I think that would be a great idea, that you can post your evidence, or you can post, you know, or they can post what they've got and, you know, share it with everybody else and draw people into that location. So, I'm so thoroughly impressed.
I was too. And I'll all three of you a question individually, saving Sean for last, so I think you're full of BS. But, Thomas, I'm going to start off with you. Just out of curiosity, we never felt anything was malicious or, you know, nothing negative for the most part at Post-Town Elementary School. But I think I already know the answer from Thomas and Jason. I already know my answer. I'll share with it in a second. Sean's the one I think is going to lie about it. But Thomas, would you stay in the school by yourself?
Hell no.
You
already heard it. Hell no. In fact, I was talking to a friend of mine on the way back here, David. And I said, David, I told him, I said, because he's Mr. Macho. He teaches personal fitness and all this stuff. And he has all these black belts and whatever. I said, Dave, I said, because he was like being really condescending when I was telling him about this whole story on the way back to Fort Clinton. And he's I go, you know what? You're sitting there because you didn't go for whatever reason. You're not buying it. Oh, I'm buying it. I go, no, you're not. He goes, I'd probably be scared there. I said, no, Dave, you don't even have any idea what fear is like in that context, because it's a different kind of fear. It's a totally different kind of fear. It's got an emotional context with it. And I said, you wouldn't stay there for 10 grand by yourself. You would not last all night. And he said, I'd do it for a grand. And I thought, oh, boy. You know, so we actually kicked around the idea of going back down there. But to be honest with you, if you're asking, would I stay there totally by myself? No. You'd have to pay me a serious amount of money, and if you wanted to document it, hide cameras and whatever, you might guess, but you'd have to pay me a lot of money to get me to do that. As much as I like the place.
Yeah,
ooh.
Well, especially after what we experienced over the weekend. Yeah, especially all the experiences that we had. Honestly, I don't even know if I could stay in there by myself. It's one thing to say when we're in a group, oh, I could stay here by myself, as Sean was saying over the weekend. I could stay in there all by myself, no problem. It's one thing to say it when you have five other guys, but when it actually came down to it, I think you'd be a little nervous, Sean. Jason, just out of curiosity, what would you do?
You know, when we first got there, we kind of talked about it, and I said, hell yes. Then as the night went on, you know, I still think I'd like to give it a shot. I don't quite know if I'd make it. I haven't, and that's the thing with this. There's something about that location. There's something about that hallway. There's something about that location that when I went and got the film and I was down there by myself and you guys were on the total opposite end, that kind of put it all in perspective for me. But I don't know if I could. I'd like to give it a shot,
mm-hmm.
like I said, but I don't quite know I'd make it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm in the same boat as you. I'm in the exact same boat as you there. I can talk and talk and talk and say, oh, absolutely, but if it came down to it, out of everything that we experienced over the weekend, it'd be a little hard to stay there by yourself. Nobody there in the building completely by yourself. Sean, as I said, I'm going to save the BSer for last. Let's hear what you have to say about it.
I'm telling you, I would have no reservations about staying at that location. I really wouldn't. I mean, I think that the things that we encountered, I think, are absolutely fascinating. I put it this way. I had nothing that scared me, you know what I mean, while we were there. And we were, we sat in different locations, you know, for a period of time by ourselves. I think that, I think that would be a very interesting thing to do. And I might get scared, you know. That's what I want. I want that. Give me a big gun. Back to the thing. I found when we went in there, even though it had the eerie, it's a big, cold, old building. It kicks off that eerie feeling. Did it have a little extra special sauce on it of eeriness? It did. But what I'm saying is that I wasn't in any place in that – I'm trying to think. I don't know why here real quick. I wasn't in any place in there except for maybe the basement that I was truly just scared out of my mind. You know what I mean? I think that would be someplace that I could spend the night. And it could be total
lighting. I got to ask you if you don't mind me blurting in here. All right, Let's change the control factors. All right, Jason or Sean will stay by himself. However, Daryl or no one else can be in the building at the same time, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
You have to be there totally by yourself without Daryl. And I want to add something to that. What the guys, I think it was Brian and Nick said, that if Daryl's not there, whatever is in there makes it known to you that they don't appreciate your presence, which is what I think happened to me when I went down that hallway. So if you were going to do and prove it, totally
right.
by yourself.
And that's that very well could, you're right, and that very well could be. I mean, you know, it may kick up, now, would I last? Who knows? I wouldn't have any reservation of doing it, though. I might run out screaming by 2 o'clock in the morning. I don't know, but I would have no reservations of spending the night in that location. I really wouldn't. There's just something almost drawing and intriguing about that location that I think that I could last. I would hope. And you're right.
Steve, you and I both know the truth. We'll let Sean say what he wants to say, but you and I both know the truth.
Okay, here's what I was going to do. I was going to say, gentlemen, is the newest segment to Into the Dark Radio called 3 Minutes of Bullshit with Sean McMahon.
That's it. But that's good. If that's what he wants to portray, I'm glad you stay there by yourself, Sean.
No, hold on.
And you know the thing about it is there wasn't anything in there that was actually, at any point in time you thought, oh my God, it's going to hurt me. Something in there is going to hurt me or harm me. It's just that there's just something about it that gets you, that makes you start thinking. And you get to thinking and you get to thinking. And when you're down in that down that hallway by yourself, knowing that there's nobody else there, that could play mind games. We'll just say that.
Yeah, I agree. And, you know, it's funny when Thomas brought that up. I forgot about that part of it, that Nick and Brian were saying that it seems that when Daryl's not there, which I truly believe that the building, the entities, the spirits, whatever's there, views Daryl now as a protector of that location. And that when he's not there, and even though Nick and Brian investigate that, you know, that location, you know, countless times, that the activity level, they said, picks up. And I think that that's, you know, a very cool thing. And I think I think they're right about that. Whatever's there, some things probably don't recognize them or think that they're there, you know, without maybe permission or whatever, and things just kind of kick up. What are you laughing about?
It's the whole last segment.
I don't like Steve anymore. I'm quitting the show. But yeah, I agree. I think
You're on a streak, man. Don't do that. You're on a streak.
Am I a roll? Am I in the zone?
You're on a roll.
Right. I'm staying then, just because Jason said so. But yeah, like I said, I just think that, you know, there's one, just like with Prospect Place, I would have loved, even after we heard the three big bangs at the end of the investigation, I would have loved to have spent the night there. I just think that to get a true experience of a location, if there's an opportunity that you can nod out for a couple hours and maybe have somebody, you know, hit your bed or you know, sit down on the bed. I mean, because Daryl had hey, Thomas, did he talk about that? I don't want to give this away if he talked about it in the with his experience of the entity sitting on the bed in his interview with you. Do you remember?
No, he talked about somebody talked about seeing our friend Sarah peek around a corner.
Okay.
I remember someone saying, I don't know if it was Daryl or someone else, I don't know.
Cool, yeah, because like I said, he had mentioned to me, he had mentioned that, and I want to get this right, I might be paraphrasing just a little bit, that when he was sleeping, that it felt like the entity had sat down on the bed, and actually to the point where it made him roll over. I think that that's all part of the experience. You know, going into a location or going into, you know, a supposed haunt and just staying, you know, 3, 4, 6 hours. Now, mind you, long and exhausting, but I think to get the full experience, if you've got a location where people slept and it was somebody's home or, you know, that you can have that extra little experience, I'm all for it. I would love to sleep in as many places as I can.
Okay.
you said you want to sleep in as many what?
Locations. Yeah, easy, big fella.
I thought she was going somewhere.
Easy, big fella. Can't hear all that dirty laundry.
I was thinking those terms. I was thinking about sleeping in a location where, I mean, it was what my friend asked me. He said, "Well, if I would bet him, could he go to sleep there?" And that's another question. Would you want to be constantly moving, or would you want to be like in one place if you stayed there by yourself?
You know, that's good. That's a very good question, because maybe the creep factor, if you're moving around, maybe the creep factor, you know, may increase. That's a real good question. Lexi said in the chat room we should have a little plaque that said Sean slept here. A lot of places have that plaque, Lexi. I'm just throwing it out there. But anyways, I agree. I mean, I would like to stay still, because I think that, like, when we did when we were all sitting in the hallway and we just pretty much everybody just kind of closed their mouths and sat there. I think that needs to be done on an investigation, and I think staying in one place or maybe one level would definitely, I would like to do that. I would like to just stay in one, you know, one room or one location that maybe has a lot of activity.
I agree, Sean.
You still don't believe me, do you?
Like I said, I think that 3 minutes of BS with Sean is going to turn into maybe 15 minutes of BS, the new segment. Anyway, Thomas, I wanted to ask you, what's the release of the DVD looking like? Do you have a target date in mind? Do you have, any time frame in mind that you were hoping to get the DVD wrapped up and released by?
Well, there's a possibility it's going to be ready to screen next week. You guys will get to see it first. You'll see the first cut. I know pretty much what it's going to consist of, and it's heading there now. But what I'm not sure is, you know, one of the things that I did, and I was telling Steve about this today, and I think I was telling Jason earlier this week, is I put together the entire investigation with like intro cards. So it's like 2 hours and 35 or 2 hours and 40 minutes of solid nothing but investigation. And I thought about including, and if people sit down and watch that, they're getting a really good idea of what it's like to be a first-hand observer at a nonstop. Of course, it wasn't nonstop that night, but I mean, if you were to watch it all the footage, including all the mundane stuff or the seemingly mundane stuff, you know, what kind of experience that would be. Because there's places in there where you sit and stare at the green K2 meter for 15 minutes. And I started thinking, I don't think I'll do it frame by frame to see if it ever jumps and no one saw it. Then I got bored with that and I went back to serious editing. But anyway, you know, but it adds something to it because it's being there. It's like it's not heavily edited like it would be for a television show. It's like really experiencing it. So I'm thinking there's going to be a documentary which is going to run probably anywhere from an hour to an hour and a half. I'm not sure yet. Maybe a little bit longer. Won't be shorter, but maybe a little bit longer. And then I'm thinking about an extra disc of nothing but the entire set of raw footage in chronological order, because there was a couple times I had to change tapes, including in a really bad time, as we will not reveal, obviously. It's probably one of the coolest parts of the investigation at the very beginning. You remember? When something happened technically?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Yeah,
absolutely.
Well, see, I don't have the luxury of, I haven't heard that yet, because I don't have it. I was changing tapes just when that happened. I got the aftermath. But anyway, so I'm thinking of the documentary, but I'm also thinking of a chance for people to see, because, you know, why not? You know, because I'm only going to be using probably 25% of the footage. Why not let them have the whole thing so they can kind of experience it? But I don't know. It depends on how deluxe I try to make it. I kind of feel, honest to God, that there's more not necessarily scary stuff or unusual stuff. I think there's stuff in there. Like, for instance, Daryl was talking about a laundry room I never saw the laundry room, and I'm not even sure, and I don't even know what you're talking about, the basement. I think there's more there that if I, you know, if I had to do it over again, I probably wish I would have known a little more about, like, the laundry. I don't think I, was I shown the laundry room?
I don't think
so. Was that down there by the food market? Yes, Steve and I were just talking ourselves. I'm not sure. I remember the lunchroom. I remember the like you said, the for all intents and purposes, the flea market room. I don't remember a laundry room or somebody labeling it the laundry room. Huh? Who we?
Or some kind of room,
yeah,
linen room. Because I think it was those guys from Crossover that said Daryl will not go in that room if he can help it. And also the train room. I'm not sure what the train room is.
The train room?
Yeah.
I missed that one, too. I don't
know. I
mean,
I might have been in,
yeah,
a million times, just not knew what it was. What is the train room?
That's
the boiler room.
Oh, okay. Okay, the boiler room is where the laundry room is?
They remember farther back.
Oh, okay. You remember where the janitor stayed in that boiler room in the further back part?
Yeah.
That's,
yeah,
that's where they're saying.
Area. Yeah.
Yeah, that's where they're saying that was. The
okay.
Laundry room. So, yeah, there was a couple.
Oh, okay, well, maybe then he did, but I do know that that's one place that he gets, you know, because honestly, we were, I think, above more than anything else. And now I'm thinking, gosh,
right,
you know, there's probably more stuff, you know, to get there. But anyway, I know it'll be done and ready to, you know, do something with it. And I'm not even actually calling it a DVD. I'm calling it a film. And the chance that it can actually get to go further than just a DVD. I mean, we're going to release it as a DVD no matter what. But I've already kind of heard from some people that are kind of interested in knowing more about it as a possibility of a pay-per-view or something like that. If it turns out to be the way I want it to be, I want it to be unlike anything that's ever been done on this subject. And that's a tough thing,
sure,
to meet that, but I'm trying. You know, so I don't know. But it'll be done, definitely it will be done by the end of the first week of May, and we should be able to start rolling it out. I mean, there's some things we have to deal with, you know, beforehand, but you know, you guys will get to see it probably, oh, sooner than you think, because I may get on a roll and finish this thing, you know, the next two or three days. Who knows?
Very, very cool. We've got 110% faith in you. We, you know, couldn't.
Well, I appreciate that.
Well, we couldn't ask for anybody better to work with. I mean, we all kind of sat down and talked about
that
it.
And vice versa, you guys. I mean, that's the other thing about this. It was like a real brotherhood. Everybody.
Sure.
I mean, I felt like, gosh, look, I've been in summer camp all summer. I'm a ball if I say goodbye to these people. You know, that's something that you just don't acquaint with this kind of thing. But
sure,
you know, that's the thing about the horror film industry that really gets me. A lot of people say that horror film people are just psychopaths, nuts, and whatever. The thing is, I would rather be on the set of a $1,000 budget piece of crap. Well, I shouldn't really say just any horror film, but whatever. On the set of the average independent horror film than I would a $100 million Steven Spielberg film. Because I know the people on the horror film set are going to be real people with families, and they probably got to stop shooting so they can change the baby's diaper, and they've got bills to pay because they're real people. And you know, having been on the set of Day of the Dead for, you know, 2 days, those people became really, really cool people, and I can still call them and say hi to them. I'm not sure where they're at anymore, but they're that cool. They're that personable, and I felt everybody involved, from you guys to Daryl and Nick and Brian and their wives, and it was like a big, it's almost hard to believe you go from this potluck dinner atmosphere to what we did just by going around the corner. That's a very strange contrast. You know?
I agree.
Anyway.
I totally agree. You know, and it's funny that you said that about with the George Romero films. It seems like I noticed at Scarefest that he kind of brings everybody along with him. You know what I mean? He kind of brings, you know, he takes care of his people. Put it that way. It seems like he's that type of, you know, you've got that, like you said, that brotherhood or that, you know, that bond. And I think that's a really cool thing.
Well, you know, the thing that happened with George, you know, it's really kind of sad. After, see, I'm trying to think of the last film he did in Pittsburgh. I don't know if it's Monkey Shines. I'm sitting here trying to, Creepshow was 82. I'm not sure what the last thing was he shot in Pittsburgh. But when he started working, going to Canada, and, of course, he did Land of the Dead and Diary of the Dead. Those were all shot in Canada. I don't know where Survival of the Dead was shot. But he really kind of left everybody in Pittsburgh behind. And I remember when we were shooting the documentary, the Night of the Living Dead documentary, J.R. Bookwalter and I said to J.R., I said, we've got Russ Streiner here. We got Carl Hardman, the late, great Carl Hardman. We got John Russo. We have Marilyn Easton upstairs waiting for the interview. We have these people there at Carl Hardman's old studio in downtown Pittsburgh, of which part of that studio was used for sets for Night of the Living Dead, for instance, the broadcasting section. I remember everybody saying, George's not going to come because George was being, at that time, George was being courted by Universal for a remake of The Mummy, and we know where that went. And, of course, George had nothing to do with that. And let me see, I'm trying to think that was 93, what he had been doing in 93. I don't know if he had been doing a whole lot. I think it was, because Day wasn't a big hit. I mean, most people's eyes have loved George Romero's films. Day was a masterpiece, but not everybody liked it. But George had done some Bruiser. No one really remembers Bruiser. And I think I think at the time we didn't know George was getting ready. His career was getting ready to get charged back up because of the sudden interest in the old Universal horror film remakes. And we didn't know if George would come. And boy, 10 minutes before we were to shoot, he walks in. He had not seen Carl Hardman or Russ or John together in one room, they told me, in 25 years. And George was like, I remember at one point during the documentary, the interviews, he said, "Hey guys, you want to do a horror film? I'll get some bread together." That was the old George coming into play, but of course the new George made it impossible for him, to do that. But they had all kind of gone their own ways. But I don't want to talk about it now. But there, ever since Night of the Living Dead was done, there's been a lot of separation of that brotherhood, of that camaraderie. There was a lot of tension there. And George tries very, very hard, to keep everybody together and all that kind of stuff. But since he went to Canada, he's not, I've talked to several people, who say he's forgotten all about Pittsburgh. I don't want to believe that, to be honest with you, but I don't want to get on that. But that's just, that like I told Steve from the very beginning, one of the bad things about being in Day of the Dead and making the documentary and working with John Russo on Zombie Jamboree and all this stuff was I went from fan to friend, kind of, and then along with the friend comes all the dirt that you don't want to hear, you never wanted to hear, about the people you've been admiring and looking up to for all those years. But I'll tell you one thing, I never heard any dirt about George. Zero dirt about George. All kinds of dirt about everybody else, but not George. So that's a good thing, I guess. I don't want to start with anything to do with Romero.
No, you're
Steve will double. Steve will agree.
You said that, he definitely agreed. Well, I'll tell you what, we will always have Post Town Elementary. That'll be our bonding place, Middletown, Ohio. Who would ever thunk that?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Thomas, we don't want to keep you all night. We really appreciate you coming on and talking to us and sharing, your experiences, your thoughts. And once again, on behalf of Steve and I, we absolutely appreciate everything you've done for the team. You were wonderful to work with, and hopefully we'll have you on after the DVD comes out if you want to come back on, and we'll talk some more. But we really appreciate you coming on tonight, and we'll let you go get some rest.
Hey, likewise, you guys. Take care.
Hey, Thomas. You still there?
I'm still here.
Okay, I didn't know if you wanted to. Did you want to throw out anything where people can, get your DVDs or anything like that? Do you have any certain?
Well, probably
certain spot
I'm going to work closely with you guys. I'm not going to be the marketing person. I'm not really a very good marketer. If people out there listening want to get involved in this, want to help get this out there, have some ideas, they can get to you guys and you can get to me. We're kind of all working together on this.
Okay. All right,
so,
that sounds good. Anybody wants to check out Thomas's bullying DVDs, he puts out a great product. If to all of our listeners out there, if you're a teacher, a principal, a counselor, and you want to breach the subject of school bullying and a myriad of other subjects that Thomas covers in his DVDs, just get a hold of us and we can direct you to him or Tom, do you have a website by any chance? Are you on?
Yeah, it's Closer Look Films, and that's pretty easy to find. It's the short address, be closerlookfilms.weebly, Weebly. It's a free website, I think. It's Weebly.com, and the films are on there. You know, another thing about horror film people, a lot of people that are horror film buffs, whether it be makeup, actors, whatever, were bullied in school because they were so different.
Sure, absolutely. I think that, you know,
yeah.
I think that some of that is kind of a you know, like you said, a common thing in horror, and, you know, because they, you know, obviously do
an
like
art,
a different thing. So.
Music, yeah.
Absolutely,
anything
absolutely.
To do with the arts, creativity, yep.
Yep, absolutely.
Yeah.
Like I said, you know, anybody out there, definitely get a hold of us or get a hold of Thomas at his website and, you know, pick up some of his DVDs and, like I said, you're not going to be disappointed. Not a problem, Thomas. You have a wonderful night, and we'll be talking to you very soon.
All right, you guys take care. Bye.
All right, Thomas. Sounds good.
Thanks, Thomas.
See you, Thomas.
Wow, that was good stuff. That went a lot longer than I thought it was going to go. Hey, Jason, do you want to give a rundown of what the Lake Erie Paranormal, the team's got coming out? Not to put you on the spot, take some time, you know. You want to let us know what we got coming up? Let the people know what's coming up.
What do we got coming up? On the 23rd, we'll have a private residence. One of two that we were contacted by. She's really asking for our help, so we'll do that on the 23rd. And then the 27th, we'll be investigating Mansfield Reformatory.
Mm-hmm.
And those are... Off the top of my head, those are the next two. We'll have another residential. We got contacted about 2 weeks ago on another one, so we'll roll into May with another residential, and then, you know, we're going to do our own fundraiser in the end of May. So.
All right, that sounds good. I let everybody know that as of right now, Steve mentioned something about a local celebrity possibly coming to this event. Do you want to say, or do we want to wait until we get more people locked in to the event?
We can talk about this one. He just locked in tonight. He's from the Toledo area. His name is Devin Vargas. He was an Olympic boxer, 2004 Olympic team. He is going to donate boxing gloves and a picture, and he's also going to attend the event.
Oh, very cool. Very cool. Devin is very well known around this area. Like Jason said, he's an Olympic boxer. What did he take, bronze or silver? He medaled,
I believe,
didn't
so.
He? I can't remember.
I don't know off the top of my head. I know that... just looking up a little bit, because I didn't want to get it wrong with, you know, talking about his career. I know he did turn professional. I know that he was Golden Gloves champion. I know he was a United States amateur champion. And I know that he was on the Olympic boxing team in 2004. I know he won his first match, and I believe he was defeated on his second match. I want to say he took bronze, but I don't know that for sure.
Yeah, that's what I'm looking. It says first round he defeated a boxer out of Morocco, and then second round he lost to a guy out of the Belisarius. And it says he was a National Gold Glove heavyweight champion 2001 and 2003.
He was U.S. champion.
And then he became U.S. champion in 2003. So, very cool. Well, that's awesome that Devin's going to participate and give us some help. That's awesome. We're just kind of scanning the thing here. We'll get a little bio of him and whatnot, so we can share it here on the show once we get everything together. Obviously, Jason and the whole team. Are working on getting some more people locked down to participate in this. And we'll be putting out here pretty soon of where you can donate to the OI Foundation. We'll put it either on our website or, and obviously we'll be sharing it here on the show. So
I can tell you, Sean, that as of tonight, we have more than one person from the Hollywood Ghost Hunters that's going to participate in this event as well.
Very cool. Very cool. I know you're trying to line that up. That's awesome. That's awesome. I know that you spoke with one of the guys today, and we're getting that lined up. So obviously to have the Hollywood Ghost Hunters participating in this is phenomenal. I mean, that's just huge. So obviously we met several of the guys at Scarefest, and they're a bunch of down to earth great guys. So looking forward to hearing what the here in the near future what they're going to be participating and providing. So
yeah, it's been, you know, one thing with putting this together is you reach out to the paranormal celebrities, and you reach out to these horror guys, and you reach out to the people that that are in the films and doing the movies, and God, what a great bunch of people, down to earth,
mm-hmm.
Just like you and I, and willing to help in a minute.
Sure, sure, yeah, absolutely. I know you're pretty excited about talking to him on the phone today. So that was
nervous as hell.
I bet you were. I would have been too. I was nervous for you, and you had already done talk to him. So.
Well, yeah, what a great group of people, and it's really starting to pick up, and the more that we get, the more things are coming in, the more people on a much larger scale are stepping up and helping out, and hopefully the things that we're trying to do for Curtis and for the foundation works out, and with the one that they're putting together with the Klein brothers, I'm sure, and Aaron Houdini, I'm sure that's going to be just a great fundraiser, and with doing ours too is, just something else, and I'm glad we can help, glad we can be a part of helping them out.
Yeah, absolutely, absolutely, great cause. Like I said, very cool kid, and looking forward to what we can come up with. So, and you put a lot of hard work into it so far, and you're doing an awesome job. So,
well, I appreciate it. You know, it's again, we've talked about it before, and people are probably sick of me saying it, but it's a team effort. We all do everything as a team. We're all putting it together. You know, Vicky stepped up. You know, everybody's stepping up. Everybody's, getting their stuff together, and we make it all happen together. So it's not just one person, it's a team. And that's why, we can do what we do.
Absolutely. I totally agree. Well, Jason, we want to keep you all night too. I know you got the kids to put to bed and whatnot. Tell Tanya we said hey, and we'll talk to you very soon.
Okay, brother.
All right, bro.
You guys have a good night.
Thanks for coming. Yep, you too. Thanks for coming on.
Great show as always.
All right, buddy.
Thanks, Jason. Talk to you soon.
All right, see
you, buddy. And that was Jason Snyder, the man, the myth, the legend, team leader extraordinaire, and case manager like no other. How was that? Is that good? Huh? See, that rolled.
That was good.
I rolled with that. Folks, we're going to take a quick break, and we'll be right back with you.
Live Paranormal Radio is the place to be, so join us at liveparanormal.com.
Yeah, that's awesome.
This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by LiveParanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi.
LP Web Design. 100% custom websites, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars.
All right, everybody. I want to thank Thomas Brown, our director, again, and Jason Schneider for coming on air tonight, talking a little bit about our weekend over at Post 10 Elementary School. As I'm sure everybody can tell, we had an amazing time with amazing experiences with some amazing friends of ours. And I know we're in the talks, maybe even going back sometime in August to do an investigation with the friends. So we'll see if that, well, hopefully that can happen. I definitely want to go back. I'm really, really looking forward to getting into my audio here, to seeing if I got any EVPs from where my voice recorder was. Seems like all the activity was upstairs, though, and my voice recorder was downstairs. So, although not, I don't think we spent too much time downstairs, did we? Me and you were down there for about a half hour, probably. And then Jason and Dan were in the gym for about, what were they down there for? 45 minutes?
About
an hour. So majority of the time, the place was completely empty. So who knows what we could have missed while we were all upstairs investigating.
Well, I think if you get anything in that room, this was the dry goods room that Steve's recorder was in, and they had had the previous team, Crossover, and Daryl, the owner. I believe it was it Nick or was it Brian that was down there with them? Nick was down there with them, and they were trying to get the door sticks. I mean, it sticks bad. And Steve found that out. I mean, there's supposedly a little trick to it that if you close the door and you can't, I mean, you can pull and pull and pull, and it's tough to get open. And if you knock and you ask permission to come in, it comes open. Well, we couldn't really get it to act the way that it should if there was some type of unknown, force holding it or whatever. But Steve did slam it at one point, and yeah, it was just absolutely impossible to open. But while they were trying to open it, Nick and Daryl, on a different investigation that they did, they could hear plain as day a little girl in the room. I believe I don't know if it was talking and laughing or laughing, but they distinctly heard and thought that it was so distinct that they thought there was maybe like a, like a doll, or there was something in the room that had been left that maybe was going off, that was given that type of sound off. So they got in there and there was nothing in there. So like I said, it was definitely a very, very cool place. Can't wait to go back, and we'll get back in there very soon. And maybe this time, smart ass, I'll spend the night. What do you think about that?
Huh? Like I said, you got your own segment coming up from now on called, I don't know what, 5 minutes, 10 minutes of BS with Sean McMahon.
We call it the Blarney with Sean. The Blarney with Sean Mack. How about that?
Whatever you want the title to be, it's up to you. It's your own little segment where you tell all your lies to our listeners.
Wow, I can't believe you're calling me out like that. That's horrible. Just wait. One of these times, maybe a prospect. We'll do it at Prospect because they got beds there. Maybe be a little rough sleeping at Post Town.
What are you talking about doing at Prospect?
Sleeping. Easy. Big fella.
I thought you were trying to go in a different direction there for a second. I had to start scooting my chair away.
It's a paranormal show. This is not like sexy time TV or anything. So just relax. You're married. But anyways, yeah. So like I said, we'll let you know when we go back. We'll definitely be releasing very, very soon. We will be releasing any information about the DVD, and we'll also be releasing information on the up-and-coming fundraiser. I know we would beat that to death, but you know what? I don't think you really can, because it's just a phenomenal organization, phenomenal fundraiser. that they're putting on down in Middletown and that we're going to be putting on up here. So can't wait for it to happen. And like I said, as we get guests, or not say guests, participants maybe, I'm not sure exactly what to call them, participants, scheduled to show up and get them locked into the fundraiser. We'll let you know who they are. And like I said, we'd love for anybody in the area that is listening, if you're close to Toledo, we'd love for you guys to come. It's going to be, what do we say? How much for the tickets? 20 for the tickets. Yep, that includes food, drink, silent auction, the whole nine yards. Beautiful, beautiful place we're having it at. Like I said, we would love to have you come in. Just get a hold of us. We can direct you on where to get the rooms at. I may even reach out here to the Marriott and see if we can maybe get a block of rooms or something like that set up and get some type of special deal. Just get a hold of Steve or I, and if you're interested in coming to town and attending it, hopefully, like I said, we'll have plenty of horror memorabilia slash. What is? It did. Yeah, it did. That's exactly what it sounded like.
Don't saying
anything. Okay. Yeah. That's you know what? Because I was thinking I had heard. That's exactly what it sounded like. Anyways, that thing that the last. The laugh that he's playing right now is similar to some of the evidence that we captured there at the school. So, like I said, we still need to go through it and determine if it's something or if it's nothing. So, and that laugh throws me off every time. I don't know why. Are you going? You're looking for shit to play, aren't you? You are, aren't you? but anyways, so like I said, the other thing I wanted, I didn't spit out earlier, don't forget to check out our friends Alpha Ghost Team on Dead Serious Radio and Blog Talk Radio. Check them out. And also don't forget to check out Strange Frequencies on strangefrequencies.net. Huh? Strangefrequencyradio.net. Strangefrequenciesradio.net. Check them guys out. Bobby Nelson, good friends of the show. So, and you will enjoy yourself. Let's see here. Kind of running at the bottom of the barrel. Hopefully, one of the guests that we're trying to get on right now is a lady that I came across on December 2012 website when I was reading an article. Her name is Chris Holly. We're supposed to have her on tonight, but I had a family emergency, and I apologize to her about not getting her on. She was supposed to be on tonight. But we were kind of ill-prepared, and like I said, we'll get her on hopefully here very soon, and I owe her big time. So the giggle is good. The baby is one of my favorite sound effects. Is it really? Lexi, that's really your daughter? Or is that... Oh, that's what it sounds like. That's too funny. See, why you put? You know what? We're gonna give. No. See, no. Hold on. No. We're gonna give you your own. We're gonna give you right after I get done with my Blarney. We're gonna give you like your little. See, you know what? I don't listen to you anymore. Here, you take over the rest of the show. You got 5 minutes.
Ah, good old Sean McMahon. Good old Sean McMahon. That's what she said. Like she said, LOL, that's my daughter, Keithley, laughing. And that's what I said to you. Is it not?
Yeah, that's what she said. Hey, anybody wants to friend me on Facebook, too? Friend me on Facebook or here at liveparanormal.com. I'm always looking for new friends because I'm so lonely. I'm a lonely man.
Let's see, what else we got? Be sure to follow us on Twitter, if you haven't already, please. It's Into the Dark Radio, except you got to take out the A, since Twitter only allows you so many characters in your screen name. So it's Into the DRK for Dark Radio. That's our screen name on Twitter. Please follow us on Twitter, Facebook, Into the Dark Radio, or Lake Erie Paranormal, preferably both, if you don't mind, please. LAP Radio. Yeah, that's not our show name anymore. I'm trying to get that changed here. We are no longer LAP Radio. We are Into the Dark Radio, because Into the Dark Radio sounds a lot more better than LEP Radio, considering we've been called LEP so many times.
Those LEP guys. I don't know if they're we're leopards or what. That's kind of our fault for. We should have spiced it up some way or another. I don't know. But yeah, it's so funny when people say, you know, we're like, yeah, we're on LEP Radio. Oh, what's LEP Radio? Like I said, we're now that we're here to stay on liveparanormal.com, and we've got our days worked out thanks to Rob. We're in it to win it, so hopefully we can get that change very soon.
I think that's about it for tonight's show. We're going to be back next Sunday. What is it? Not this Sunday, week from this Sunday. We'll be back from 5 to 7. We will not be doing a show 2 weeks from now. We are going to be down in Mansfield doing our private investigation with the team and some of our friends. So unfortunately, we will not be having a show 2 weeks from tonight. But I guess what our next Wednesday show is going to be 4 weeks from tonight. Yeah, 4 weeks from tonight. But anyway, we'll be back next Sunday, 5 to 7 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Once again, we want to thank Thomas Brown and Jason Schneider for calling in, talking a little bit about our weekend at Pocheton Elementary School. Be sure to stay tuned for Dr. Barry Taft with special guest Jose Escamilla, UFOlogy. And then after his show, Exposed History with Bigfoot expert Cliff Barak. So two great shows coming up, a little cryptozoology, a little UFOlogy, and a little ghosts talk, all in a four-hour block. Where do you find that entertainment at?
It's good action. It's good action right there. I mean, does your night get any better than that, really? Seriously.
Anyway, once again, we want to thank everybody that tuned in tonight. Steve and Sean will be back next Sunday. And on that note, be safe, everybody. Have a good week. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, everybody. Have a good night.
LP Web Design. 100% custom website, entry pages, Twitter backgrounds, banners, and more. For more information, please visit liveparanormal.com, the official web designer of the stars. This is Live Paranormal Radio, brought to you by liveparanormal.com, the number one interactive online community for everything paranormal, horror, and sci-fi.